I mean, I do think it is your fault that I am the way I am.
Oh yeah, I'll take the blame.
Hi, my name is Flynn Harris. And I am in the 12th grade. My senior year, final semester. Both of my parents do drama.
This is what being an actor based in Kentucky is like. You know, you've got zombie films, Amish romances.
They do theater, and I have quite literally grown up in the theater. What's funny is about half or maybe even a little more than half of my memories are not actually of the performances or the rehearsals. It's all like, I remember sitting with my DVD player and like getting to watch stuff while the show went on or while my father directed something instead of like paying attention to the show. But because I wasn't there to do the show. I was there because childcare, like they couldn't just leave me at home when I was like 7. So
you knew how to use the microwave? Sure, he could have done.
Well, and then I blew off the microwave. So
on the day you were born, we stood, you and I, in the dark, pre-dawn hours, watching silently from the window. As the yellow school buses idled awake, opened their eyes, and slowly from their slumbering slots, one by one snaked onto the lamplit streets. Suddenly spinning before me, the chapters of your early life play out in quick succession, as clear as the lilac sky still clinging to the nighttime stars. Just as I cling to these last few moments of it being just the two of us, you and me, in the stillness and quiet of a world not quite awake.
I remember constantly being in the rehearsal hall.
Where would you go to stay out of the way in the theater?
The cry room. Basically, it's like a soundproof room that parents can take like young kids into. They have like a soundproof glass so that you can still see the show, but if you have like a crying baby or something like that, that's making like a child that's gonna make a lot of noise, you're not disturbing other audience members. On breaks and stuff, I would usually end up going and like chatting with people, chat with Tracy, who was stage manager for a lot of the shows. Going in, chatting with the crew. I remember mostly being told to stay out of the way. Hey, man, tech week, you want that to go as smoothly as possible. I'd be somewhere in the audience, just like up in my own space, or I'd be like in the cry box or whatever, we could make some noise.
Or have all your Imaginex toys laid out.
Exactly. I could have all my things.
Suspended from the reality that churns on and on outside that door, within the sanctuary of these four walls, you cloister in the corner. Oversized beanbag and headphones, and a new Scooby-Doo on your screen. Snacks. Or dinner. Or snacks and dinner. And chocolate milk. Of course, it's chocolate milk. My tithe to you for having to spend your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday evening, and Saturday afternoon in a windowless room where the world transforms. Where chairs become thrones, where adults pretend to be pirates, or rabbits, or dragons. In that sanctuary, the theater folk wrapped you in their gypsy robe and whispered our secrets in your ear.
You did have to come with us to rehearsals and performances because childcare was just challenge. But eventually, you started performing yourself. Now, did you feel thrust upon the stage?
No, they forced me. Someone please help. No, it was very much a choice.
Did you get a break from theater during the summers?
No, they kept making me do things. And by they, I mean I kept making me do things. So stage one has like run several summer camps and things. I did many of their summer camps. I spent a lot of time working sort of on the other side of things as well for camps. So to help like manage the kids and give teachers a break and everything, they had student interns. So usually I'd intern for multiple camps in the summer. As part of that, I got to watch the kids sort of like grow into their roles, especially because it was working with younger kids a lot of times. You really got to see like the understanding grow over those 2 weeks, to see everything sort of fall into place and click for them, and like really, really sort of grow, not just as like performers and stuff, but also just as people. It's a really lovely experience.
In the place where magic unfolds, those masquerading as perfectly normal people in this world scurry through a dark other world. Soft feet and whispered well wishes still at the threshold where the light meets the dark. The exquisite agony of anticipation in the moment before, as the low rumble of a thousand conversations float into the air and dissipate into silence as their lights go out and ours go up. And there we are, in a glorious room full of humans, as we laugh together and cry and gasp and allow ourselves to feel the unifying experience of trying to understand what it means to be human. The only thing better than that is getting to watch you grow into the human you are becoming.
What would you say are the pros of growing up in a theater household, and what are the cons?
Cons? Definitely the schedule, because you don't have like a 9-to-5 schedule. And when I wasn't old enough to be on my own, I would go from school to the rehearsal hall and spend more time in the rehearsal hall than I did at home. Even when you weren't in a show, and like when then like you and I could be home, but Dad was in rehearsals and he wouldn't get back till 9-10 p.m.
I did have to keep you up because we had to go pick him up. We only had one car for a lot of that time.
It was definitely like, it definitely made a very weird schedule. I don't know if this is a pro or con, but your kid's gonna be weird if you're theater people. Like, when you grow up in a house where you use theater terms for all of it, like, for example, with like the blender, or if you're gonna make a loud noise, instead of being like, "Hey guys, I'm gonna make a loud noise," or something, you just say "noise," and then everyone else in the house goes, "Thank you, noise." And I still do that today with a lot of things.
And how do the people in the dorm feel about that?
Everyone in the dorm thinks I'm really weird for that.
Have you trained them, though, to say "thank you, noise"?
No, none of them. Not a single one. Whenever someone announces something, I usually say "thank you, X," "thank you, whatever." And everyone just looks at me funny. I mean, randomly bursting into song about things definitely doesn't help. That one came from you. You do that a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say that definitely did not come from your father. What would you like with the roasted potatoes? We have chicken or fish, chicken or fish. Your stereotypical theater kid invests so much emotionally in those auditions and whether or not they're going to get the part. And you never seemed that emotionally invested.
I was there for the fun and the money.
The loads of money.
The loads is a strong word. I never felt like part of the like main group, because there was a group of them, really, that like kept coming back, and they were all good friends, and they'd all get really excited and like hug each other and be like, "Oh yeah," and get really excited at auditions and things. I was never one of them. I've kind of always felt one step back from them, like I'm just an arm's length away. Yeah. I wasn't like part of the clique.
That's interesting, because I always thought having two parents in the theater might make you feel different from your peers whose parents have, quote, normal jobs. But it sounds like maybe the difference was more with the typical theater kids, mm-hmm. who were choosing to mm-hmm. pursue this, whereas you sort of grew up in it, that's really where more of the dissonance was.
Oh, very much so. The dissonance was very much with the other theater kids.
Interesting, because you always seemed to fit in so well with them.
Oh, I did. I got along with them. I just never felt like part of the in-group.
Yeah.
I watched the in-group. I thought they were really cool. I wanted to be part of the in-group, but I just wasn't.
Interesting. Because I perceive you as being one of the in-group.
I always felt like I was the tag-along. They were just like theater kids by choice, not by hereditary.
Not by genetics.
Yeah, they weren't genetic theater kids. They were found theater kids. Adopted.
Hello from your mother and her newly minted British phone number. By the way, I met some of the other students in my program today and got my residency permit picked up and got lost when my phone died. So, yeah. That's London. How are things there?
Hello, mother of mine. May I have $63.27 for groceries? Thank you.
Is there one particular theater experience that you find memorable?
Getting killed on stage. Because I remember in rehearsal hall, getting training on that, and then having to work through that scene a lot. That show as a whole was also very memorable. It was Frankenstein. The one super memorable experience I have as an audience member, I know I've talked to you about, is when you guys did And Then They Came For Me, where it was a World War II play about, that was the one about, I think it was about Anne Frank.
No,
right?
Anne Frank is a character in it, but it's about this woman's story of how she and her family survived or didn't the Holocaust and vice versa. There's a man and whose story is also being told, and they're sort of parallel stories. But one of them was a neighbor and friend of Anne Frank prior to the war.
I think what hit even harder in that play was because you were playing a Jewish character who ended up in a concentration camp. And was it that they killed you, or it was just that you got like taken away?
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. The character I was playing did go to the concentration camps. She survived.
I was very young at the time. So when you got like taken away to the concentration camp and there was that whole sort of moment and stuff in the play, I was like bawling. I was only like 8. And that, I mean, it was a very heavy and serious play, but it was really difficult for me to separate like mom from character at the time.
And that's one that you didn't have any preparation for, because I don't think you had been in the rehearsal hall for that.
No, I wasn't in rehearsals. Which I think made it harder to separate mom and character. I just went to see the show, and then you get dragged away to a concentration camp. Seeing your mom get dragged away is traumatizing. Very, very tough to watch.
Yeah. Do you remember what you did after the show?
I don't, actually.
You came backstage to the green room and just crawled up in my lap and like put your arms around me and like buried your head in my chest.
Oh.
Broke my heart.
I mean, that was a hard play to begin with.
Yeah.
And I was too young for the play, honestly.
Yes, you are. You were. One of the most horrific experiences as a mother is watching her son get killed on stage. That was a hard scene to watch.
I can imagine.
That was really tough, yeah.
It was lovely for me. I had a great time.
I'm sure you did.
I loved Brandon.
And you couldn't have asked for a nicer guy to kill you.
Oh, he's so nice. What's hilarious is he is one of the loveliest people I know.
You're kind of at this crossroads in your life. You know, you've just turned 18. You're getting ready to graduate high school, getting ready to embark on the beginning of your adult life. How much has this background played into your what your hopes and dreams are for the future?
I think it very much has been like the background. It is the consistent through line, the underline of like everything for me. Like it's just kind of ever present. It's always been there.
I don't know that it's had a major influence on like my professional track.
That sort of subconscious level influence could potentially be there, getting under the skin of another person so that you can portray them. That ultimately is psychology.
Oh, definitely. It's a psychological thing. I mean, you have to understand the psychology of a character, the history of a character. Why do they do the things they do? And I mean, that's what really drew me to psychology. I want to understand why things are the way they are. I want to understand why people do what they do.
When you say it like that, I can hear little Flynn. That's my little baby boy, all grown up.
On the day you were born, we stood at the window, you and I, looking out onto the dawn of a new day, a new life. Our journey has been to walk along the same path, and now your path turns one way, while mine bends another. You'll see vistas I can't even imagine, and discover your own way through this forest of life. So now, before we must go, let us rest a while in this clearing as we gaze one last time at the same patch of sky, as the stars blink on one by one, to remind us how vast is this universe of possibilities.